Hello, this is the Weekly Astrology Forecast, and this is your host, astrologer Shelley Enteen. And I'm speaking to you about an action-packed week that begins Monday, the 17th of April, ends on Sunday, the 23rd of April. If you think April just flew by, you're right. It's just almost on its way out. This is the week where we get our second Aries new moon, and it's a solar eclipse. So I am absolutely going to be doing a separate recording for that event, because also happening this week is the Sun enters Taurus and Mercury retrogrades. So I think we've got enough information to go through the week, and you will have a podcast available that we'll be posting perhaps after this one posts, but it will be there for you. Anyway, let's look at Monday, which has a moon in Pisces. And in the early part of the day, Eastern time, it's just Eastern Daylight Time, and that's the time of all of these aspects that I'll be mentioning, we are going to be in the fog of the moon conjunction Neptune until 2:57 p.m. Eastern. That's a long time. You know, Monday is a day you may be getting back on track, except the track is invisible. Or it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. This is a foggy time, maybe literally. And certainly, it's best used if you're going into the positive energies of Neptune, which would be spiritual work, creative visions that you can apply, music and dance, you know, all of that kind of energy. And don't try to be logical, analytical, or looking for truth unless you're looking within the self. And this is a big topic of my own these days, because I feel that we're being really pushed to take personal responsibility for going into the self to weigh and measure and get our truth, okay? But anyway, void of course, moon in Pisces after this, which is going to feel very much like it's still conjunct Neptune, until the moon enters the fire sign Aries at 9:09 p.m. That's a long floating day. Just figure you're floating and don't worry about it if you can help not worrying about it. I mean, sometimes that's hard to do. But once we get into that Aries mode, we are in a good space, even though it's late for the Eastern time zone. Moon in Aries sextile Pluto in Aquarius, 9:42 p.m. is when that comes in. So here's Aries Moon's relationship to Pluto in Aquarius. It's helpful. You know, Aries Moon is really up for innovative, adventurous, and new, but it's also very up for individualization. So it will sextile Pluto power in Aquarius if Aquarius is going along with those things and it isn't trying to control the instinctive, inner responses of the individual. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on already. I see it even in the astrological community, which is an Aquarian area ruled by Uranus. You know, the unseen realm of energy. That's what we're looking at, right? And Pluto is there now and has tried to show itself in my way is the right way. And it's, you know, it's just popping up all over the place now. Never used to see that before, quite honestly. There are many roads that lead to Rome. But, you know, I've been using my road for 40 years and more. If it works, it works. So I'm not paying much attention to that. At any rate, but some people are very, you know, Plutonic. We go from the 9:42 p.m. sextile, which is a helpful opportunity, to the lovely, flirtatious, and delightful energy of Moon in Aries sextile to Venus in Gemini until 11:47 a.m. on Tuesday. Yes, very nice indeed. But after that, it's not as pleasant. And that's because the moon in Aries is square Mars in Cancer until 6:16 p.m. So Mars in Cancer has a very strong need to be in control and to feel safe, especially about home and family, security, security, security. So moon in Aries seems to be doing things too fast without a lot of thinking about it first, you know. So it doesn't work as well. It doesn't. And also moon in Aries wants to be leading. You know, and Mars has got to have that control right now. Sorry about that. And so it doesn't feel comfortable and it can become argumentative, especially the closer you get to 6:16 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday the 18th. But after this, Moon in Aries picks up again as it goes into the conjunction to Jupiter in Aries for the rest of the evening Eastern time and all the way to 1:27 p.m. on Wednesday the 19th. After that, it will go for a long time, making that conjunction to the new moon, which is the eclipse energy at 12:13 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. They're saying something. 9:13 p.m. on Wednesday for the coast, that's Pacific time. You will not see this. You never see a new moon. And, you know, it's at night at this point. Eclipse you would see if you were in the right location on the planet. You're not, if you want to see an eclipse in the United States. You know that this astrologer is very happy about that. But boy, we have an eclipse coming. And, you know, we have it in October. So, you know, we get our chance to have, you know, that major change and shift take place. But we all have a major shift and change take place in our personal lives with this. So you'll listen to the other one. You'll get all the information you need, the location, the everything. I'm also being interviewed by Elizabeth Ashley Starnes, who did a beautiful interview with me about Welsh goddesses for the novel, The Last Priestess. But this is going to be, and that's on YouTube now, this is going to be about eclipses. So she's interviewing me on the 18th Tuesday. So there'll be another probably interesting conversational kind of report on the eclipse energies and the one that we're having come in on Thursday morning Eastern time, 12:13 a.m. But that Jupiter conjunction for the moon before that is very energized for new moon. New moon is frequently a low energy experience, but, you know, we do, again, have this powerful Aries expanding energy. And that can even be a little bit too much, you know. When you're out and about with something like that going on, it can just really be, frenetic out there. You know, people are taking chances, running red lights and all of that. So it's not your usual low-key experience. It's a little much more. That sounds funny, doesn't it? It's a lot much more. Would be more like it, but all you have to do is say one of them. Active than usual. When we get to Thursday, the moon is going to be entering not long after the sign of Taurus, not long after the new moon. It's 12:30 a.m., so it's 17 minutes later, which gives us a clue about the fact that the sun is about to change signs. So on that day, which we've just come off the 29 degrees Aries new moon, the moon enters Taurus again, 12:30 a.m. Quick square, of course, it's going to do that. It's going to square, not necessarily always the first time when Pluto gets higher. It won't be the first, but squares it right away at 1:04 a.m. And this is a definite difference in values and how to look at the future and So it's tricky, but for many of us, it's in dream time. And then that sun is entering Taurus at 4:14 a.m. So we're going to start leaving the Aries influence, which is also like the big sigh, you know, after Mars left Gemini. Well, now another sigh, because it's just been a lot of Aries, but we have needed that lesson so much. Chiron and everything trying to teach us when to be firm and strong and when not to be. It's a tricky thing sometimes, and especially when you're in leadership position. You know, when do you tone down your need to be first? And but now the sun is going into that peaceful Taurus. This is the sign of the Buddha, you know, and surprisingly, Taurus has a very powerful spiritual side, which mentioning the Buddha brings up for me, because the spiritual eye is Aldebaran, in the eye of the bull, the constellation itself. So this is where we see why the meditation practice is stillness and focus on the third eye to receive. Receiving is very much something that Taurus does, in a sense, hearing and being willing to allow the self to hear is something that Taurus is probably learning during a lifetime, because, boy, Taurus has that fixed quality, so it can be, you know, also stubborn and unmoving. You know, that's why, you know, in the bullfight, which is a horrible thing to do, in my opinion, you know, they have to really, to get that bull to charge at the matador, the picadors have to really stick pins, and they're not pins, they're knives, into the bull to get it really irritated. So that when that red cape comes out and the taunting begins, it's ready. It's ready to charge. And, you know, there are expressions like bull in a china shop, you know. So Taurus is usually passive and peaceful, and we're going to be so happy about that. But when it gets to that point, and even in human beings, it's a big explosion, because it's been pushing down the energy that's already bothering it, and now it's like ba-boom, you know. So be aware of that. It's not just a peaceful time, but it is a time where we will be wanting to spend our time honoring nature. And in fact, Earth Day takes place every year on the 20th, well, this time it's Saturday, the 22nd day is Saturday, and that is always taking place in the sign of Taurus. So it's appropriate. Some of our holidays, I don't know, they kind of miss the zodiac sign, you know, like Valentine's Day, Aquarius? What? There's got to be a better sign than that for true love that lasts, you know. But at any rate, we have the right one, Taurus, for Earth Day. So we start to move into that energy, and we move into it with the moon there also, and moving to sextile Saturn in Pisces until 8:30 a.m. So we start out with this helpful energy, this helpful opportunity to bring a focus, again, as I mentioned, the spiritual focus into the day, and to receive some, you know, visionary structures that will help you even in the more mundane aspects that Taurus is concerned with. It's concerned with personal finance, possessions, and even our self-worth, and it shows a lot about what we value and what we think we need to survive. So that's one of the things you can look at if you happen to be in meditation in that morning time of the moon, sextile Saturn in Pisces. What do I believe that I need to survive? And is that true? See what happens. See what answer you get. But the sun itself has the first aspect, a square to Pluto, of course, 12:27 p.m. So who's going to win? I mean, the sun in Taurus isn't the best sign for the sun, but it's a strong, fixed position. It doesn't budge, as we said, without a lot of provocation. But Pluto is also very powerful. And, you know, this is, again, the clash between what should we do with the future, particularly in the mundane realms of Taurus that we spoke of. And that's food, too, by the way. How could I forget? And if I did forget, you would be remembering on Thursday, because the moon in Taurus is going sextile Mars in the other foodie sign, Cancer. And that's for the rest of the day. So there's a lot of energy Thursday on food and nurturing and providing protection and sustenance for ourselves, for our family, for our home. That is a good day once you get past the square at 12:27 p.m. to address those things, to address those issues. It's sextile, it's helpful. So it's fine. It is over in the Eastern time zone at 12:37 a.m. on Friday the 21st, which is the beginning of Ramadan. Oh, sorry, that's when Ramadan ends. I was thinking, how could that begin? It was supposed to be Easter. I just didn't see the word. But on Friday the 21st, you are in station Mercury. You've been in it actually on Thursday too. Not moving in a fixed sign, not really helpful at this point, and also very entrenched in one position. I think I'm staying right here. And this is the aspect of 4:05 a.m. Moon in Taurus joins this stationed Mercury in Taurus. But the retrograde comes a half hour later at 4:35 a.m., Friday the 21st. While that's happening, the moon is going to, surprise, Uranus in Taurus at 8:09 a.m. And the moon moves on to sextile Neptune, which is a really helpful aspect, until 11:41 p.m. Eastern time on Friday the 21st. So, okay, so the moon itself is interested in something new, and that could be cuisine or something that helps deal with the personal possessions or feelings of security. And then there's a very gentle, lulling, artistic and sensual energy to round out the night. But Mercury retrograde in Taurus. Okay, well, this is the year I mentioned before, I'm sure, that Mercury retrogrades in Earth signs. And Earth signs, as we know, or we may know if we've been listening for a while, are not conducive to hosting the flitting, changeable, you know, the Mercury is fleet of foot, right? So it has winged feet. Not in Earth, it doesn't. It's, you know, we talked about this when Mercury went into Taurus. So now it's retrograding there, and it will be retrograde there until May 14th, when it will turn direct, but not up to speed exactly. Once again, you know, the station is the hard time, which is the 14th, and the direct motion on the 15th will be not moving 1 degree a day until comfortably until really the 18th. That's when it starts getting back up to speed. And it will bypass the 15th degree, which is where the retrograde takes place, on the first day of June. So there's a lot to realize about the Mercury retrograde. We always talk about not making major decisions under the retrograde unless you've already visited the subject or the actual item and you're going back to it. This is okay to do. Mercury retrograde, if you can not start something new, it's helpful to wait. But, you know, there's always things that happen. And, you know, if they happen, the point is that things can change after the direct motion, because you're literally going to be seeing things differently. Mercury is at a different point in the sky as it resumes the orbit. It's not in the same location. And it makes like a loop, you know, and comes back. So you may think you know what you want right now. You may think you've got all the bases covered if you do something during a retrograde, but you may find that you have to revisit this with a different idea in mind after. Now, that doesn't have to be devastating, you know, but it's just, if you can wait to make that major purchase, like a house, or unless you've seen the house before, again, unless this, you're coming back to something and making a decision, that's a completely okay thing to do. Anything with a revisit, review, you know, even repair, anything with a re is like bring it back to a former condition, or let's go over this. I think that I have traveled frequently under a retrograde Mercury. I haven't had any difficulty, particularly if I was going somewhere where there was going to be study involved or a spiritual retreat involved. Because when the Mercury is retrograding, it is going internal. We're used to having the mind running with a lot of external energy. You know, think about this, think about that, think about it, and it runs fast. A little slower maybe with Taurus. But when it's retrograde, it's pondering. It's like sort of going, it's reviewing, it's going over the past. It's going over the things that it thought about. And that's why people will say, a return of an old love. Well, why? I mean, Mercury in Taurus doesn't say anything really about that. The return of an old banker, maybe. Yes, you know. But why is that? Well, because people are going over the past, not just you, but that person you had a relationship with, and they're suddenly going, oh, what an idiot I was. I should try it on again and see how it works, you know. But most of the time, it does the same thing it did before. And we learn that as we go through more than one occasion. Sometimes it works, so it's up to you to feel it out. But you yourself may be doing that, reviewing and saying, hey, maybe I should get in touch with so-and-so because, you know, if you're doing that during the retrograde, why don't you wait till the retrograde is over and then look at it again? Maybe you continue, but maybe you won't, you know? So let yourself spend the pondering time while the pondering time is there. So again, until really basically May 15th, and then again, not really up to speed right away after that. We're going to be looking at waiting for a while. And waiting for a while before it gets out of the actual degrees that it went back over. So, Mercury retrograde. Where is it in your chart? That's something to know, because that's the place where you're going to be doing a lot of that review, you know, and readdress. And so, where is Mercury transiting between the degrees of 5 and 11 or more, 11 or 15, 15 and 5 degrees of Taurus? That's where it is. That's where the retrograde is for you. And also, anybody who has the rulership with either Gemini, which is to me the major, or Virgo, of Mercury, is going to feel this like retrograde energy right away. And you know I have a tradition now, it seems, of making at least one mistake during this recording. Mercury is going to retrograde. Maybe I'll have two or three. I am Mercury ruled, doing a Mercury thing, communicating. So that's, you know, there it is. But also, there is a house or houses, because of the Gemini and the Virgo influence, that are in your chart that are ruled by Mercury. Those two houses, Gemini on what house in your chart? Virgo on what house in your chart? That is also an area that feels the rulership slow down and go back and see. All right? So, Mercury retrograde in Taurus. I have given you, I guess, what I'm thinking about right now about that. And, you know, it will make certain aspects. And as we come into this right away, we've already, let's see. Mercury retrograde. And we've got the moon, and we've got Mercury's first aspect, a sextile to Mars. So somehow it doesn't do the square retrograde. Okay. Now, this is the Friday, the 21st, as you may recall. Void of course moon after that lovely gentle sextile of moon in Taurus to Neptune in Pisces, 11:41 p.m. Friday evening. Ramadan ends. And the moon enters Gemini. That's the sign of Mercury rulership, but the ruler is retrograde. 6:11 a.m. Saturday the 22nd, Earth Day. All right, well, there's a quick trine to Pluto. Moon in Gemini will get along great with Pluto in Aquarius. 6:49 a.m. But we do have a bit of a down note, which we are going to have every time the moon is in Gemini while Saturn is in Pisces, because they will square. And that's at 3 p.m. on Earth Day. So there can be some kind of an obstacle in your happy plans if you're celebrating something or you plan to or you want to celebrate something on the 22nd before 3 p.m. Eastern time. So that's noon on Pacific time. So you get a better flow once you get past noon. Because the moon after this will move to join Venus until 8:43 a.m. on Sunday the 23rd. So for you folks, this is the time, if you're in the eastern zone, between 3 p.m. and 8:43 a.m. on Sunday, to do your Earth Day ritual or Earth Day honoring experience. So to be out in nature and have a high level, upbeat, fun, loving, conversational, it's all wonderful. Everything seems great. And then after 8:43 a.m. on Sunday the 23rd, the moon is heading towards a sextile to Jupiter in Aries. Jupiter's getting ready, you know, it's almost leaving Aries, but not quite yet. On the 23rd, it's still there, so the moon can sextile it. And while the moon is going sextile Jupiter in Aries, which does not complete until Monday morning at 4:49 a.m., Mercury in Taurus retrogrades sextile Mars in Cancer until 11:19 p.m. So this is something you may be going back over about, you know, food or family or something you've already discussed about security issues and stuff. If you already discussed it, you know, fine. And, you know, we will, as Mercury continues to retrograde, we'll find some other aspects coming in that zone. But this is a fairly lovely day, the 23rd. You just have that glitch which could be weather related because it's Saturn in Pisces, which could mean watery obstacles, but also just a downer, like people will feel sort of pessimistic. So you may be hearing all the negative things that unfortunately are happening in our geophysical experience of Mother Nature. So just keep that in mind, and things will lighten up after 3 p.m. Saturday. So, okay, so that's what I have to tell you about this week. And as I said, another podcast will be there for the eclipse and even an interview with Elizabeth Ashley Starnes that'll be on YouTube right after the 18th, where she interviews me. So when we go into the week beginning the 24th and ending the 30th day of April, Sunday, which is the last day, we are really just able, which is always nice, after, particularly after an eclipse, to assimilate what happened the week before and start seeing some of the signs. You know, you may have already started seeing some of them after the eclipse, but now you can see a little bit more happening as we go into that first phase and enter the second quarter phase of the moon that week. But the planets are still are where they are. Nobody moved yet. And I wish you all the best, and I'll say goodbye for now.